Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the things this morning, and I feel so bad about this, I told some of you I was going to have a tapestry up here, but the tapestry is only in a cardboard box and it only fits in the back of the truck. And with God cleaning everything today, I don't think it was smart to bring it, so we're going to have to wait on that. But I'll incorporate that later sometime. You know what a blessing it is for me to be able to incorporate our new ministry together as a pastor and congregation. You know, usually a new pastor is on the receiving end of an installation sermon because the preacher who is preaching the congregation challenges the pastor and the congregation to serve our Lord and Savior. Now, yes, you'll get this today too. But usually the new minister has not really shared the word of God with his people, and in this is an introduction to them. Well, we have a unique situation here because you've heard me numerous sermons, and this is a great opportunity. Well, this is the second installation sermon I have been allowed to share. And I am always awed by what God is doing. Bringing the church together, filling the church with hope, excitement, and affection, both from the congregation to your pastor and from your pastor to the congregation. I'd like to share a reading from Romans with you. I think that deals with what a pastor is, which is what my message is today, and which I find extremely interesting. Now, in our lectionary, this is a Holy Week reading that's usually done on Monday, Thursday. And it's a getting ready for Jesus' death reading. But it fits very well for us today, and that's why I'm using it. So we, as pastor and people, begin our discipleship together in this church. So why is this the case? Let's look at Romans 10, verses 13 to 17 for the answer, and I'll read. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes from the word of Christ. Folks, I think this Bible reading is so important for us because we're charged to share the good name and news of Jesus because in the upper room that night, on that climactic evening, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to be a church. And isn't that what he's doing to us through his word too? He's teaching us how to be a group together. Even the disciples needed that instruction. So we do too. Remember last week in Isaiah, we had the text about how beautiful are the feet of those of him who brings good news. Now, this theme is continued in the text I just read to you a little further in Matthew. I'd like to read this to you. It's a little bit, it's from our reading today. But you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set to you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Boy, look at that emphasis on washing the feet. So let's get out our bowls of water and untie our shoes. You know, wouldn't that be a great surprise? But folks, I've seen that done before. On Monday, Thursday, the pastor would actually wash the feet of everybody in the congregation. And why would one do that? Because I think it's a great example of showing that we are servants to one another. You know, I'm going to talk to you about, I got an example to explain why I think that's important. In the church, Jesus' disciples across the board humbled themselves to one another. They served one another, they refresh one another, all because we all, and I'm talking about us, every one of us, we have all been cleansed and refreshed and served by God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. who humbled himself for us, taking our sin onto himself and taking it to the cross for all of us. Well, here's that story I just mentioned. I heard this in 1982 at the installation of Pastor Fritz Schmidt at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer in Omaha. And it's interesting because when you have a story that stays with you for 35 years, it's one of those things that made an impression. Of course, then I was young, but that was a long time ago. Well, the story is told about the bishop who had a full day of meetings, administrative tasks, sermon preparation, and several hours of driving to get to a church supper before a worship service after dinner. And when supper time came, he was tired, and boy, was he hungry. He hadn't eaten anything since breakfast. He stood in line along with the other people visiting and slowly moving toward the food. And looking up ahead, he saw a woman with a fork, forking one piece of chicken on each plate. Well, when he got to the spot, you know, he was so hungry, he asked for two pieces of chicken. And the lady replied, "One piece per person, please move along." And the pastor looked at her and said, "Well, I haven't had time to eat since breakfast. Please, could I have two pieces?" But she was firm. "Each person gets one piece. Now please move along." And he thought, "Well, I'm just going to have to pull rank." And he said, "Maybe you don't know who I am. I'm the bishop." And she said back, "Maybe you don't know who I am. I'm the lady in charge of the chicken." Well, she was in charge of the chicken. But you know, the example for us is this. There's no one in charge here except Jesus Christ. We are all working for him. He's the one that's got the chicken. Does that make sense to you? Because it sure does to me. You know, when we get to the point where we feel, well, things should go this way, they have to. Are we serving God? Or are we serving the other way? Think about that. One of the things I've learned over the years is that shoulds, woulds, and coulds, anytime I hear them, are they coming from the Spirit of God or from the flesh? When we read Galatians 5, it goes into a whole explanation of that. But I really think when we have shoulds, woulds, and coulds, we're looking at the flesh. We're not looking at the Spirit of God. And our goal here, as servants of Jesus Christ, at our Savior's Lutheran Church, is to serve. Let's let him be in charge of the chicken. But more seriously, let me tell you how this connects with foot washing. And here I'm speaking as a pastor. You know, I call Jesus my Lord and Savior and my teacher. And this is one of those good things, because it's Jesus with his arm around a little boy. But I ought to use my gifts and abilities to lead worship and to preach and to serve you. To serve those to whom I'm preaching to. I ought to use these God-given gifts and abilities I have purely to serve you. I should want nothing else. And I shouldn't be up here leading worship and preaching so that I can think to myself, I'm very important. Because people think I'm doing what I do up here in the meeting. I'm the one in charge of the chicken. No, it doesn't work that way. But folks, that's the temptation that we have in our human heart. And we have to watch out for that. Not only as pastors, but as people of God. Because we've got to allow it to be, let him be in charge, not us. You know, to become the chicken lady because you care so much, I really want this to work. Okay. We end up not serving God because of that. So let's allow him to be in our lives, to lead us, and just to do the things he tells us, just as he told the disciples that day on Monday, Thursday. Even Jesus considers this in our gospel reading today, when he directly asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" When Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, Son of the living God," and Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." He did not learn this from the human being. "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means the rock. "And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not come down." folks, Jesus is the first master. And he went to Peter and said, you are going to build this church. You are the rock upon which it's going to stand. And you are going to be the one that's master. If you remember from your catechism class, many years ago, we have two sacraments in our church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. But we have a third one, or at least a half of one. I've always remember this because Pastor Mueller, who I went through confirmation with, said, and you know, a nice German man had a German accent. He said, we have two and a half sacraments. And I'm looking at the book, and it says we have two. And the other one is the office of keys and confession. That's what Pastor Tony and I are. We're in the office of keys. We have been given the keys. But what we do as pastors isn't a sacrament. It really isn't. What the sacrament is sharing the word of God with you, like I'm doing right now. Luther, Melanchthon, Gerhardt, you know, all have come out and said, well, this is a sacrament. What we do standing up here by sharing the word of God with you is important. And folks, this is what you have called me to do. You know, one of the things that we watch out for is that I am not an employee of the church, neither is Pastor Tony. We are the called and ordained pastors and representatives of Jesus Christ. And that's a special relationship because we've been called here through the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you we're wearing red clothes? Because the Holy Spirit is acting in us today. It's his power that's here, but it's his power that flows through us. In fact, Luther says that this is a conduit for the Holy Spirit to come down through us and to go on through us. You know, one of the things that I think is very important is the cross. Why? Because it shows this relationship, because we receive on this side, and then what happens here? So the Holy Spirit enters us, and then it comes out of us onto others. So anytime you see that cross, think about that for a second. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working through you and sharing itself with other people. I really saw this work this week because I went and had a visitation. And I was talking with somebody about this Latin term called vicarious atonement. Any of you ever heard of vicarious atonement? You know, Tony, Pastor Tony sitting up here going like this. Vicarious atonement is Jesus on the cross. Vicarious means someone who stands in someone else's place. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He was the person that stood in our place and went to the cross for us. He atoned our sins on that cross. What a pastor does is he is the vicar of Christ. And if you've seen British movies, you know, many times they call it an Episcopal pastor, vicar. When I was on my practice pastorage in the Missouri Synod, I was called a vicar. And there's an important reason for that, is because we are training to stand in the place of Christ in this gathering. And that's a huge responsibility, isn't it? And folks, it's one of those things, I pray that I will be able to do the best job I can as the vicar of Christ in our midst. You know, this is the reason today why Pastor Tony and I are in full robes, because of the importance of this vicarious act today. You know, we don't blame all the time, but there are some times that it's very important that we show this relationship. And that's what we're doing today. We're standing in as a visible representative of Jesus Christ, who we know is with us today. Well, in closing today, as your pastor, I pledge to share the gospel of our Lord with you with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my soul. And with the help of God, I will do my best for all of you. And as the members of our Savior Lutheran Church, will you join me in working for our Lord, loving all, listening before speaking, and forgiving when we need it? And if this is your intent, please respond with, "We will with the help of God."
We will with the help of God.
Let us pray. Dearest Jesus, as we enter into this new relationship between us, we pray for your guidance from you and for a reminder of the love you have for us by standing in our place on the cross. I pledge that I will stand for you in all your as you require, as your vicar and our Savior for all of our people. Please empower all of us to serve you and share your love with others. And in Jesus' name we pray, and God's people respond with, "Amen." Amen. To God be the glory.